This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
The trial of Alec Baldwin, it is getting underway. Opening statements being made by both the prosecution and defense. And so far, looking at this, personally, I'm kind of like, both have valid arguments. Joining me to discuss, Bob Motta, defense attorney. This is one I'm almost feeling Karen Reed-ish about, where it's like, you both got solid arguments. What are your thoughts thus far?
Same, man. It's tough.
No.
You know, like it's one of those cases where it's not a whodunit.
No.
You know, we know what happened here. The question is like, and it's similar to, say, for instance, a self-defense type case where you know what went down. It's a question in those cases of, was the response reasonable in terms of what was coming at the person who was being attacked? Like, you know, you can't shoot somebody in the head if they poked you in the chest. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That the response has to be comportment with, you know, what's happening to you. You have to feel that there's a reasonable fear of great bodily harm or death, you know, in a case like that. Whereas here, the issue is foreseeability.
Yeah.
You know, was it foreseeable that Alec Baldwin should have known or that, you know, him pulling the trigger on a weapon could potentially lead in somebody dying? You know, I mean, and it's like the fact that the end result is that Helena Hutchins did, in fact, die seems to be a pretty powerful argument for the state and the thing. You know, the question then becomes, you know, was it really foreseeable? You know,
yeah.
And how much, there's just so many facets to it that are really interesting with respect to him. Like they kind of, the judge didn't allow for them to bring the producer angle up in this trial. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, you're going to have to pick a lane. I'm not going to let you run on both lanes, both the producer lane and the actor lane. You're going to have to pick one or the other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and they're going with the actor route. So, it's interesting, man. I mean, in both opening arguments or statements rather were pretty compelling. You know, I mean, you can really kind of see how this thing could go either way, you know, and it really depends on the jury, like every case.
Very much. Let's take a look at some of those opening statements and arguments. This is Erlinda Johnson talking about careless firearm safety on the set of Rust.
But you will see that during this training session, the defendant had somebody or a couple of people filming him while he's running around shooting this gun. You will learn, ladies and gentlemen, or you'll hear during this trial, the use of the words prop gun. And you'll learn a prop gun is this real gun. It's not a toy. It's not made of rubber. It's a real gun. You will also see evidence, ladies and gentlemen, that during the days before that fateful October 21st day, the defendant handled this firearm multiple occasions. You will see video footage of the defendant firing this firearm, working perfectly fine. But you'll see evidence, ladies and gentlemen, that each time the defendant handled this firearm, he did not do a safety check with that inexperienced armorer. And you'll hear that the reason he didn't do a safety check is because he didn't want to offend her. The evidence you will see will paint a real life picture of a real life workplace where this defendant mishandled this gun. You will see him using this gun as a pointer to point at people, to point at things. You will see him cock the hammer when he's not supposed to cock the hammer. You will see him put his finger on the trigger when his finger's not supposed to be on the trigger. You will hear about numerous breaches of firearm safety with this defendant and this use of this firearm.
Some compelling arguments there about firearm safety, but we do have to take into account we had an armorer, although turns out not that experienced, Hannah Gutierrez, who's serving time. We have Assistant Director David Hulse, who's admitted flat out that he didn't check the bullets as well as he should have. And then it gets to Alec Baldwin. I guess that would have been the third check, the final, you know, check, if you will, in ensuring that it was a safe thing to use. But I think something that also needs to be understood here, it's not as simple as you're laying it out. We have blanks and we have dummy bullets, and they're two different things. Dummy rounds, they look like real bullets. It's very hard to tell the difference. They look, they feel, but they're dummy. They don't go bang when you pull the trigger. They're just there. They're just objects. If you have a blank, that goes bang, and that's a little different, but they look significantly different. So from an actor standpoint, too, you're sitting there on the set, you're ready to do this. It'd be extremely hard to tell the difference between, even if he did check it, what is a live round and not.
Yeah, no question. And I think that the difference between the dummies and the blanks is that with the blanks, they have gunpowder, mm-hmm. but they remove the projectile at the top of the round, mm-hmm. and then they like crimp it.
Yep.
So it makes the sound, but nothing fires.
Yep. Like
the projectile, which is at the tip of a round, you know, that's what gets fired out when you're hearing that
yep.
bang, typically, you know. So, yeah, it that's the thing with this case, is it's like, and on top of that, like Dave Halls, who was the first assistant AD, that's literally one of his primary roles, mm-hmm. is to make sure, like, he's the one who was yelling cold gun.
Yeah.
Like, he yelled it multiple times, cold gun on set, cold gun. You know, when the actors hear that, and cold gun means it's safe, mm-hmm. there's no live ammo in it. It's safe to use. So you've got like these levels of the armorer, and then the first AD who's yelling cold gun. So then, like, this thing's going to boil down to, with this jury, and it was interesting in our chat on our YouTube channel, because we're covering the trial, was, you know, you have people that are serious gun enthusiasts or gun owners, and they take gun safety very, very seriously, you know, and they don't care about this distinction that this was a movie, you know, mm-hmm. this was make-believe, that this is, none of this is real, that the rules of the real world don't apply to a movie set, because all of it's make-believe, you know what I mean? Which I'm sure when we play the clip of their opening, I don't know if you're going to play that yeah. portion of it, but it was kind of like the theme, you know? So you've got this situation where, yeah, I don't know if Baldwin would have been able to tell the difference between the dummies and real rounds. I certainly wouldn't.
Well, the dummies are designed to look real. So when you have a close up of the gun, it looks real. If you had the blanks, if someone knew what they were looking at, they could tell. So if you're the actor and you're being told this is a cold gun, and you got what looks like dummies in there, you're going to assume they are dummies in there, I would think. And I guess how would he have checked, you know, to truly know when they look that identical? Because sometimes you would really have to, like, okay, let's get a magnifying glass out and really look at this. That just doesn't seem like a realistic argument to be made, especially for a guy who's handled hundreds of guns on sets before. Nothing like this has ever occurred with him. I don't know if that's sloppy or not that he didn't check it, or just that's how it works or has worked in the past.
Yeah. And, you know, ultimately, like I was saying, with the, you know, the gun owners that are exceptionally serious about mm-hmm. gun safety, I mean, the rule is you never point a weapon at anybody ever
yeah.
under any circumstances, unless you're intending on destroying what's in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's it. It's a simple rule. You just don't point weapons loaded or unloaded, because, like, kind of the rule of thumb is it's always loaded, whether it's not mm-hmm. or it is, that in the mind of the gun user, it's always loaded. Just assume it's always loaded.
Yeah.
Like, that's the default position. So, you know, again, but we're not in the real world exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, and the fact of the matter is that there never should have been a live round introduced onto this set.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, to me personally, I think it's a civil liability thing.
Yeah.
As to Baldwin, I don't think that it's a criminal liability, because again, it's the foreseeability for the involuntary manslaughter charge. You know, was it foreseeable, you know, with due circumspection that, that this was going to happen if he pulled the trigger. Now, again, we have to introduce the fact that Baldwin in one statement said he didn't pull the trigger, that he cocked the hammer, you know, and the gun discharge, you know, and that wasn't, you know, that wasn't something that he had actually done. So it's a, yeah, it's a tough case, man. And like the chilling effect on the movie industry is going to be something else as well. You know, I mean, like the last thing I remember anything like this happening was with Brandon Lee and the Crow years, decades ago.
Yeah. We were kids.
That was like the last thing that I remember of like something of this nature taking place on the set. Cause you know, I mean, we watch a lot of movies and they're using guns are in a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's just how movies are made. The idea, you know, you don't point a gun at something unless you want to destroy it. I get it. In the real world, that's not how movies are made. You couldn't make most movies involving guns at all if we're going to follow that rule. That's why you have dummies. That's why you have blanks and things of that nature. We still don't know who exactly introduced this into the set. That, I think, is the ultimate question, who would really be held accountable if they could ever figure that out. I doubt they ever will, but that's a big thing.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.